All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtyatya Deshatarane Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavat Purana Canto 2, The Cosmic Manifestation, Chapter 7, Scheduled Incarnations with Specific Functions, Text 24. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yasma Adad Udadhir Udha Bhayanga Vepo Margang Sapadi Adi Purang Haravad Didaksho Dure Sukrin Matheta Rosha Sushona Dristya Tatapayamana Tatapyamana Makaroruga Nakra Chakra Yasma Adad Udadhir Udda Bayanga Vepo Margang Sapadya Ripurang Haravad Didaksho Dure Surin Mathita Rosha Sushona Dristya Tatapyamana Makaro Raganakra Chakra Yasma Adad Udadir Udabayanga Vepo Margang Sapadya Ripurang Haravad Didhaksho Dure Surin Matita Rosha Sushona Dristya Tatapyamana Makaro Raganakra Chakra Yasma Adad Udidir Udabayanga Vepo Margang Sapadya Ripurang Haravad Didhaksho Dure Surin Matita Rosha Sushona Dristya Tatapyamana Makaro Raganakra Chakra Please chant. Ladies. Anyone else? Yes, my. Unto whom? Adat gave. Udadhi. The great Indian Ocean. Udabaya. Affected by fear. Anga vepa. Bodily trembling. Margam. Way. Sapadi. Quickly. Aripuram, the city of the enemy. Haravat, like that of Hara, Mahadev. Didhaksho, desiring to burn to ashes. Dure, at a long distance. Sukrit, intimate friend. Matheta, being aggrieved by. Rosha, in anger. Sushona, red hot. Drishtya, by such a glance. Tatapayamana, burning in heat. Makara, sharks. Uraga, snakes. Nakra, crocodiles. Chakra, circle. So this is Lord Brahma speaking to his son Narada. The personality of Godhead, Ramachandra, being aggrieved for his distant intimate friend Sita, glanced over the city of the enemy, Ravana, with red hot eyes, like those of Hara, who wanted to burn the kingdom of heaven. The great ocean, trembling in fear, gave him his way because its family members, the aquatics, like the sharks, snakes, and crocodiles, were being burnt by the heat of the angry red-hot eyes of the Lord. Purport by the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead has every sentiment of a sentient being, like all other beings, because he is the chief and original living entity, the supreme source of all other living beings. He is the Nitya, or the chief eternal, amongst all other eternals. He is the chief one, and all others are the dependent many. The many eternals are supported by the one eternal, and thus both the eternals are qualitatively one. And due to such oneness, both the eternals constitutionally have a complete range of sentiments. But the difference is that the sentiments of the chief eternal are different in quantity from the sentiments of the dependent eternals. When Ramachandra was angry and showed his red hot eyes, The whole ocean became heated with that energy, so much so that the aquatics within that great ocean felt the heat, and the personified ocean trembled in fear and offered the Lord an easy path for reaching the enemy city. The impersonalists will see havoc in this red-hot sentiment of the Lord because they want to see negation in perfection. Because the Lord is absolute, the impersonalists imagine that in the absolute, the sentiment of anger, which resembles mundane sentiments, must be conspicuous by absence. Due to a poor fund of knowledge, they do not realize that the sentiment of the absolute person is transcendental to all mundane concepts of quality and quantity. Had Lord Ramachandra's sentiment been of mundane origin, how could it disturb the whole ocean and its inhabitants? Can any mundane red-hot eye generate heat in the great ocean? These are factors to be distinguished in terms of the personal and impersonal conceptions of the Absolute Truth. As it is said in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Absolute Truth is the source of everything. And so the Absolute Person cannot be devoid of the sentiments that are reflected in the temporary mundane world. Rather, the different sentiments found in the Absolute, either in anger or in mercy, have the same qualitative influence, or, in other words, there is no mundane difference of value because these sentiments are all on the absolute plane. Such sentiments are definitely not absent in the absolute, as the impersonalists think, making their mundane estimation of the transcendental world. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Trinadapi Sunichena Tarod Iva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harinama 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 Iva Kivalam Glo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. So here is my homework that I did for this class. In this verse, the words Aripuram, the city of the enemy, specifically refer to Lanka, Ravana's city of gold, perched upon the summit of Trikuta Mountain and thickly covered with forests. And because it was constructed by the celestial architect Vishvakarma, Lanka was inconceivably splendid. Ram himself described Lanka as the sky filled with white clouds. And when Ravana kidnapped Sita, he boasted, "I have won from Kuvera, the celestial city of Lanka, chasing him away by my own power. Why, I have even taken from my brother the Pushpaka, his celebrated and beautiful airplane, which can range anywhere according to one's will. Wherever I stand, the sun withholds its fierce rays, the wind blows gently, and the rivers become still and calm." And when Hanuman returned to the monkeys, after setting Lanka ablaze with his tail on fire, Hanuman described that at the edge of the city was a wide moat infested with alligators. All around Lanka were vast ramparts with steel-barbed drawbridges and gates. Hordes of rakshasas prowled about the ramparts, holding spiked clubs, which could kill 100 warriors with a single blow. Great catapults were lined along the defensive walls, as well as machines which could fire blazing iron darts up to a distance of 10 miles. Ravana's forces were all but unlimited in number. They were highly trained and could use every kind of weapon, and they remained constantly alert to any danger. In the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami describes that after making friends with the monkey chiefs and killing Vali, and thus arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, Lord Ram went to the beach of the ocean. After reaching the beach, Lord Ram fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. And when the ocean did not come, the Lord exhibited his pastimes of anger, and simply by his glancing over the ocean, all the living entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Rusha Aropita Bru Vidrimbha. The ocean feared the flickering of Lord Ram's raised eyebrows in anger. And then the personified ocean, fearfully approaching Lord Ramachandra, took all paraphernalia to worship him. And the ocean personified spoke to Lord Ram. My Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. Ravana is the son of Vishrava, but is condemned like urine. So please, go and kill Ravana, and thus regain your wife, Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. For upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. So Srila Prabhupada comments on this excerpt from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said that a son and urine emanate from the same source, the genitals. When a son is a devotee or a great learned person, the seminal discharge for begetting a son is successful. But if the son is unqualified and brings no glory to his family, then he is no better than urine. Here, Ravana is compared to urine because he was a cause of disturbances to the three worlds. Thus, the ocean personified wanted Ravana killed by Lord Ramachandra. One feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, is omnipotency. The Lord can act without regard to material impediments or inconveniences. But to prove that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and was not merely advertised as Godhead or elected by popular vote, Lord Ram constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. Nowadays, it has become fashionable to create some artificial god who performs no uncommon activities. A little magic will bewilder a foolish person into selecting an artificial god because one does not understand how powerful God actually is. Lord Ramachandra, however, constructed a bridge over the water with stone by making the stone float. This is proof of God's uncommonly wonderful power. Why should someone be accepted as God without displaying extraordinary potency by doing something never to be done by any common man? We accept Lord Ramachandra as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because Lord Ram constructed this bridge. Just as we accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill when Krishna was only 7 years old. So we should not accept any rascal as God or an incarnation of God, for God displays special features in his various activities. Now in today's verse, there was a reference to Hara, Mahadev. So I found this information in the Bhaktivedanta Vedabase. Cupid himself once tried to invoke Lord Shiva's lusty desires in the presence of Parvati. But Lord Shiva was never to be agitated. Rather, the blazing fire from Lord Shiva's eyes turned Cupid to ashes. Kamadev, who is an expansion of Lord Vasudev, had been burned to ashes by the anger of Lord Shiva, but he was reborn as part and parcel of Prajumna from the womb of Rukmini. The Cupid whom Rudra burned up with his anger is a demigod subordinate to Indra. This demigod Cupid is a partial manifestation of the prototype Cupid, Prajumna, who is a plenary expansion of Vasudeva. The demigod Cupid, being unable to attain a new body on his own, entered within the body of Prajumna. Otherwise, Cupid would have had to remain in a perpetual state of disembodiment as a result of Rudra's having incinerated him with his anger. When Cupid's body was burned to ashes, his wife, Ruti, worshipped Lord Shiva in order to attain another body for her husband. The demon Shambhara, having also come to Lord Shiva for benediction, was recognized by Shiva first, who told Shambhara, "You should now ask for your benediction." Shambhara, struck with lust at seeing Ruti, replied that he wanted Ruti as his benediction, and Shiva complied. Lord Shiva then consoled the sobbing Ruti, telling her, "Go with him, and in his very home you will attain what you desire." Thereupon Ruti bewildered Shambhara with her deluding power, and taking the name Mayavati, remained in Shambhara's house untouched. For my final excerpt, Prabhupada in the purport referred to a famous verse from the Katha Upanishad. And it just so happens that Prabhupada spoke on that verse the very first time I heard Prabhupada. The date was April 7th, 1973, in the famous Brooklyn Temple on Henry Street. And if I close my eyes, I can still see Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasasan. As we learn from our scriptures, even 1/11th of a second association with a pure devotee can make your life successful. So here's the excerpt from that lecture. So that is the difference between God and ourself. We are also person. God is also person. Nityo nityanang chaitanas chaitananam. He is also a living entity. We are also living entity. So, what is the difference between God and ourself? That eka, that one living entity, nitya, singular number. And so, bahunang vididhati kaman. He supplies the necessities of life to all these plural number Bahunam. And I distinctly remember that part of the lecture. I distinctly remember. It stuck with me all these years. Those who know Sanskrit, this Nitya means singular number person. And the Nityanam, that is plural number. Both of them are persons. Both of them are living entities. But why that singular number is considered to be the supreme? Because he supplies foodstuff to all the plural. So actually, Krishna has everything ready for supplying to all the living entities. Nobody is meant for starving. No, that is not. Just like in the prison house. Although the prisoners, they are condemned, still the government takes care of their food, of their hospitalization. Not that they should starve. No. Similarly, although in this material world, we are all condemned, we are all prisoners. And now for my encore. So Prabhupada also in the purport referred to the opening lines of Srimad Bhagavatam. Janma Adi Yasya Yataha. So that line, quoted from the first verse of Bhagavatam, links the Bhagavatam with the Vedanta Sutra with these words. It is stated that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, is the absolute truth beyond the material creation. This has been accepted by all Acharyas. Even Shankara Acharya, the most elevated impersonalist, says in the beginning of his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, Narayana Paro Vyaktat. By the way, this is taken from Chaitanya Charitamrita purports. When this material creation is not yet manifest from the Mahatattva, it is called Avyakta. And when it is demonstrated from that total energy, it is called Vyakta. Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beyond this Vyakta, Avyakta, manifest and unmanifest material nature. This is the chief qualification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when Krishna assumes a particular incarnation. Krishna tells Arjuna that although both of them took birth many, many times before, Krishna remembers everything about his previous appearances, but Arjuna does not remember. Since Krishna is beyond the cosmic manifestation, Krishna is in the exalted position of being able to remember everything in the past. Everything within the cosmic creation has a material body, but Krishna, being beyond the material cosmic creation, always has a spiritual body. Krishna imparted Vedic knowledge into the heart of Lord Brahma. Although Brahma is the most important and exalted personality within this universe, Lord Brahma could not remember what he did in his past life. Krishna had to remind Brahma through the heart. And when Lord Brahma was thus inspired, he was able to create the entire universe. Remembering everything about the past and inspiring Lord Brahma to create are vivid examples of the characteristics called Swarup Lakshana and Tatastha Lakshana, as was instructed to Sanatana Goswami by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bodily features, nature, and form are known as Swarupa Lakshana, the personal characteristics. And knowledge of Krishna's activities provides Tatastha Lakshana, the marginal characteristics. So if we could get the microphone ready, I'm going to ask Swabhas to be the first commentator. And while we're waiting for that, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyaye bhaja patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.
Haribo Prabhuji. All I can say is that thank you for an explicit, clear description of this particular purport, and thank you for those wonderful examples given by Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
Thank you.
Haribo.
Very clear.
Anything else? Archita Dasa.
Something about
yes, please. No. I did my homework. That's all you get. Okay, so you have no question? Prabhuji here has a question. I didn't do that research. I stuck to the verse and purport. Anything else? Are we good? You have a question.
You mentioned that even 1/11th of a second would the pure devotee save one from the greatest danger. What is the Sanskrit word for that 1/11th?
Lavamatra. 1/11th of a second. And I'm sure you've had much association with your spiritual master. Okay, so cherish that. Oh, never forget it. And that's what I'm doing. Every day I'm trying to remember all the different incidents. There's not that many. They're not significant. But at least I can say, Prabhupada touched this arm. Jai. That's my claim to fame. Anything else? Well, what really happened was the night before. The night before was the first time I visited the temple and I saw Prabhupada. And there was a drama. I think it was a Rukmini drama. And Prabhupada was sitting in a rocking chair in the back of the room. And then when the drama was over, everyone filed out of the room and waited for Prabhupada in the hallway. And all the devotees, as soon as Prabhupada came out of the door, all the devotees bowed down. But I didn't know. I was stupid, as I am today. But from Prabhupada, this effulgence, like Aurora Borealis, was coming out of Prabhupada, and it forced me to bow down. And I thought to myself, this is it. I have found the modern Jesus. So, after class, it was kind of hard to understand Prabhupada's accent. I wasn't accustomed. But I do remember that one line that I read, that the singular eternal is maintaining the plural eternals. Thank you very much. May Krishna bless you, protect you. Long live ISKCON New Dwarka, home of the most famous, most beautiful deities, Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarakadesha Ki. I will see you next month. Thank you, God willing, if I'm still alive.
Wait.
No, he didn't say it. He said he wanted to know.
No, I asked.
I guess you
I... Because I didn't have the mic. Since you didn't want to talk about seats, I said, okay, then explain the touch.
I didn't hear that. Next time.
Guys.